Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you the glory and the praise this morning. We thank you. We honor you. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power, and in thy hand is might, to give strength and to make great. Now therefore, O Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And everybody says, Lord, the entrance of your word today, let it bring that light that you promised and elevate us into thy very presence. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the praise and glory. Glorify yourself, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap and be seated. Praise God. Well, today, you know, I've been wanting to preach this message for a long time, but the Lord, you know, he has his own ways. The Bible says his ways are not our ways. Those of you who are here today, you have been appointed to hear this message. You know, because I wanted to preach it at different times, and he wouldn't let me do it. See, until today. And I guarantee you, the devil, he doesn't want you to hear this kind of message. You know, but, you know, that prophecy that his sister gave will go right with the message, and she didn't know anything about what I'm going to preach. I'm telling anybody what I'm preaching, because myself, I don't even know what I'm going to preach. You know, the Lord tells me sometimes I have some messages. I have, as I've told you before, lots of messages. You know, last count, I had, you know, had over 30 messages that, you know, that I'm ready to preach at different times. You know, and at one time I want to preach something, and the Lord, you know, sometimes he lets me preach what I want to preach. Sometimes he says, you know, I got to preach something else. Today, you know, we will be talking on a very significant subject. In his presence, the manifested glory of God. How many of you can say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Now, I'm going to speak on this because the Lord wants me to bring it. The very purpose that God created us was to have fellowship with him. I mean, sure, it's to worship him and so forth, but it's that fellowship. And he wanted us to be in his presence, in his glory. But I'm going to read some scriptures here. I want you to turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I'm going to have to preach this message from memory because I can't find my notes. That's how important it is. You know, because the devil still doesn't want me to preach it. But the Lord said, preach it today. See? And I usually have a little card here, and it was in my Bible. I can't find now. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse 14. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Now it's talking about, you know, I don't want to read the whole, you can read the whole chapter, but I don't have time to read all of it. You know, it's talking about the people, you know, they asked Moses to put a veil over his face and so forth like that because of the glory that that came upon him when he went to the mount. And, you know, they didn't want any part of God. Those people didn't, you know. So they, you know, they just say, well, you talk to God and, you know, let God talk to you and then you talk to us and so forth. They didn't want any part of God, you know, but that's not what God wanted. God wanted to talk to them directly, but they didn't want any part of God. So they said, you go talk to God. And then when he came, you know, the glory was on his face and they wouldn't, you know, they couldn't deal with it. They told him to put a veil on his face. Can you imagine that? These people didn't want any part of the glory of God. You know, so now. But this same veil that he asked to put on Moses, is still on the Old Testament today when they read it. See? Because that's what they asked for. And until today, the veil is still upon their minds when they read the scriptures. That's what the Bible is saying. But that veil is done away in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when he shall turn unto the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, this message is going to deal with being in His presence, in His glory, the manifested glory of God. Now, one thing, the first thing I'm going to say is this. Let me clear something up right now. Because the Bible says, in Psalm 139, David, he wrote about the presence of God. He said, even if I go down into the deeps, you are there. Even if I go into hell, you know, you're there. Everywhere. See, he said, you know, that's Psalm 139. I'm going to just read one verse. The whole chapter talks about that, but I'm going to just read a few verses in Psalm 139. He said, whither will I go from thy spirit? That's Psalm 139, verse 7. Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, so he begins to list all the different places. You go to heaven, you go to the deep, you go down into the pit, you go everywhere. He's saying the presence of God is there anyhow. Now, that's not what I'm talking about today. Now, that's his online presence. Now, so I want everybody to listen to me real good. That is his online presence. But what I'm talking about today is in Psalm 16 and verse 11. And I want you to turn with me to Psalm 16 and verse 11. And before this message is over, you know, I prayed a lot this weekend. I prayed a lot the night. And I said, Lord, only you can bring it to where the people will understand it. Psalm 11, Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou, and I'm going to connect, the Holy Spirit connected the dots for me in this verse. And I'm going to connect the dots for you today. Now, this is a famous verse that most people know. But most people, the Lord told me, didn't connect the dots. Now, thou wilt show me the path of life. See, in thy presence is fullness of joy.
Hallelujah.
And at thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. Now, most people know that verse, but they leave out the very first phrase in that verse. And that's where we're going to connect the dots this morning. He said, the Lord will show me the path of life. Now he begins to say what that path of life is. See? In his presence. That's where the life is at. How many of you can say praise the Lord? You know, when God, in the beginning, when he created man, you know, they used to be close to his presence. The Bible even said that God used to come in the cool of the evening and fellowship with Adam and so forth like that. But pretty soon they wandered away from his presence. You know, when they were still close to the Lord, that presence of the Lord, did you know that they used to live up to 900 and something years? See? And pretty soon they wandered far away, far away, and far away, and the presence of God diminished long, far enough from them that today the life expectancy is even less than 60 years. You know, if people live up to 70 years old, now they think they are Methuselah or something. You know? But Methuselah lived 900 plus 60 something years in the Bible. And they had, initially, they lived very, very long because of the presence. Now, it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And Psalm 139 says, where will I flee from thy presence? Everywhere I go, your presence is there. Matthew chapter 27. Turn with me real quick to Matthew chapter 27. And listen to what Jesus says here to the disciples. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So his presence is with you always, you know, he said. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, he says the same thing. He said, for when two or three are gathered together in my name, what did he say? There I am in the midst of them. That's Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Now, all of this is not what I'm talking about today. Now, that's the omnipresence presence of God. And this message is so deep that God is going to have to reveal it to you. See? Now, David said, in his presence is fullness of joy. And at the right hand, there are pleasures evermore. And he said, his presence is everywhere. Well, if that's what Psalm 16 is talking about, how come everybody doesn't have the fullness of joy then? I mean, how come everybody in the world, because the omnipresence of God is there anyhow? I mean, when two or three gather together, they are here anyhow. Does every one of you in here today have the fullness of joy? Absolutely not. You've got crisis. You've got challenges. You've got problems. You've got difficulties. But he says, I'm there in the midst of them. Now that's the omnipresence. And most people, especially believers, if the Lord will only permit you to know how deep this is. Most people, especially believers, they settle for the omnipresence of God. That's all. See? But that's not what we're talking about in this message. We're talking about His manifested glory. And when you experience it, you will never be the same. Now, this is not the one where, you know, if I go to heaven, he's there. If I go to the pit, he's there, and so forth. There is no fullness of joy in the pit. How many of you are still with me? You understand what we're talking about? There is no fullness of joy in the pit. See? Come with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. And we are going to reveal God's original purpose for man concerning this subject this morning. In Romans 3:23, he says, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Now that simple verse would reveal the very purpose that God had for us in the beginning. Through sin, we fell short of the glory of God. It was his intention that we should have the glory of God. It was his intention that we should be in his presence and be in his glory. Now, we are going to show some examples in the Bible of people that sought the glory of God and some that walked in the glory of God all of the time. And what happens when the glory of God shows up in a service like this? See, what we have here today is the omnipresence of God. You know, I prayed the whole weekend. I said, God, maybe it will be time. Maybe you will have mercy on us and let that manifested glory show up on Sunday. When he does, people will line up on the corridors here. How many of you know that's true?
Hallelujah.
I'm going to show you from the scriptures, and I'm also going to tell you something that you will know, that when the Lord shows up in that presence that I'm talking about today, and when you can get into that presence, sometimes it gives us a sneak preview. See? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. This is a sneak preview that the Lord gave Moses concerning his glory. Now, there is something that Moses did which most people will not do today. And that's why they miss it when God gives something like this. In Exodus chapter 3, and the angel of the Lord in verse 2 appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the bush. See, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, this is the burning bush. Many people have heard about it. It was burning, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, now this is the thing that most people do not do. See, when God gives you a sneak preview of his glory, most people don't do anything about it. In fact, most people run away from it. See? Like the Israelites, they didn't want any part of it. They even told Moses, cover your face. We don't want any part of God. See? And that's when Moses became a prophet unto them. God didn't intend for anybody to be a prophet and so forth. He wanted to speak to each person directly. How many of you say praise the Lord? But they wouldn't hear his voice. They didn't want any part of it. They say, well, we don't want to hear from God. You just talk to God and you come talk to us. And then all of a sudden Moses becomes a prophet. See, but that's not what God is looking for. But Moses, he did one thing here that most people today don't do. He said, I will now turn aside and I will see this great sight. Why the bush is on fire and it's not burned. Now notice in verse 4 is where the secret is. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. You know, so sometimes God wants to catch your attention. He'll give you a supernatural manifestation, but most people don't press in. See? The Pentecostals today, especially, they speak in tongues, have a few gifts of the Holy Spirit on top of that. But that's as far as they go. Now, we believe in all of the gifts of the Spirit. And we believe in the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and so forth. But that's as far as most people go. See? But that's only a sneak preview. God wants you to press into his presence. And press into his glory. And we're going to be talking about that today. So Moses, he turned around and he said, I'm going to see. And God said, because you said you are going to see. Now all of a sudden, he reveals himself to him. God only put the fire there. And if Moses would have said, wow, that's a great sight and so forth, and jumped down and went and told the people, wow, today I saw the glory of God, I saw the pillar of fire, I saw the burning bush, he never would have heard the voice of God personally. But he stayed with the visitation. And he pressed in and said, now I want to see what this is all about. And when God saw that Moses was interested in seeing what this was all about, then he spoke to him and said, Moses, sir, Moses. And he said, here I am. And all of a sudden, he had an experience, an encounter that he has never had in his life. You know, God began to speak to him one-on-one because he turned aside to see the great sight. Now, this same Moses, turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. This same Moses, in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, he had a sneak preview in verse chapter 3 that we just read, but he wasn't satisfied. I'm going to show you something about this Moses in a while, because it's an example. Then we're going to talk about Jesus, you know, the ultimate example, but I want to show you this Moses. He said in verse 18 of Exodus 33, I beseech you, Lord, and that's the prayer I want every one of us before this message is over this morning that we are going to pray. I beseech you, Lord, show me thy glory. Oh my. You know, when you pray that prayer, now you are talking. And Moses, he began to press for that glory, and the Lord said, well, here's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to show you my back parts and so forth like that. I won't show you my face. You know, but you go stand over here and I'll pass by you, I'll put a hand and cover you and so forth like that. So the Lord began to show him, you know, some part, but Moses wasn't satisfied. Oh yeah, he never was satisfied in his heart. He wanted that glory. See, he wasn't satisfied. And so the Lord, you know, when the Lord, he does these things, he wants us to seek his glory. Now, most people today don't seek the glory of God or his face. What we seek is his hand in blessings. I mean, we run to him, Lord, heal my son, heal my days, give me a miracle at work, provide this and all of that. And God does all those things. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Those things come from his hand. But he wants us to seek his face. This is the face that he hid from Moses. He said, I won't show it to you. You know, and but Moses in his heart, he wasn't satisfied. He's going to see that glory one way or the other. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. You know, but so the Lord, you know, he likes to draw people in. See, the Bible says, thou verily art a God that hideth thyself. You know, he will hide himself. You see, in fact, in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 2, the Bible says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. When God conceals his presence, he conceals himself, thick clouds and different things. It is for you to search it out. But most people, you know, like 2 Corinthians 3, the Bible says when we enter into that image of God, he is a gradual process taking us from glory unto glory. See? But most people stop at speaking in tongues, if they ever get that far. See, most people will stop at a few gates, if they ever get that far. But our God is unsearchable. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Now, let me show you something profound about the presence of God that we are talking about here. That's why the prophecy that came this morning that said, I will inhabit your very being. That's the essence of this message. She didn't know anything about it. But it was God confirming that message that was to be preached this morning. This is the very essence of our lives. There is a vacuum. There is a yearning inside every man, whether you know it or not, whether you love the Lord or you don't, whether you are saved or not. There's an emptiness inside of you that can only be filled by His glory. See? And most people come short of it. That's what Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. See? But today, God, in His mercy, will invite us.
Hallelujah.
How we can get, and He will show us how we can get back into that glory. How many of you say praise the Lord?
Praise.
Now, the profoundness of this presence and this glory. When it happens, I mean, let's say this manifested glory of God will happen in this service today. I'm not talking of His omnipresence. Presence. I think I already explained that. You know, here's what will happen. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles and chapter 5. This is the similitude of the kind of thing that would happen when the glory of God is revealed. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, when Solomon was dedicating the temple and so forth, and he had assembled 120 priests together with the sound of the trumpets. I'm not going to go into that, but there's a reason for the number 120. You know, you can tie that back into Pentecost and so forth like that. But I'm not going to go into that this morning. It came to pass in 2 Chronicles 5 and 13. It came to pass, even as the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord and said, you know, let's say that part together. For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Now when they begin to say that in one sound, with one mouth, making one sound unto the Lord, guess what happened? It came to pass that even then that the house was filled with a cloud. Now the Lord was there the whole time. See, before the cloud appeared, He was there all the time. But when He began to reveal His presence, the cloud, even the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud. And here's what happened. The priests, the ministers, could not stand to minister. Now, if that glory of God came here, you would see me on this stage. Because the Lord is His own interpreter. See, people would be slain right here without me having to preach. And you can experience this even beginning in your personal lives. And that's what we're going to get into this morning. Now that glory, when He filled the temple, they couldn't stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And there are many examples here, but I don't have time to go into all of it. So I'm just going to stop with that one. And I want to talk about the profound importance of this glory of God and this presence of God in our lives. And how He gives eternal life. It is the very presence of God. See, the Bible even says that when He created Adam, He breathed into him. See, now, there was a man in the Bible called Enoch. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. If you want to turn with me. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says that this man Enoch, he walked with God and he was not. Because God took him. Now, if you read in Hebrews 11:5, you'll find out a little more about that. That, you know, he was translated. That's what that means. Because you might say, what did it mean that God took him? Well, he was translated that he should not see death. So Hebrews 11:5 explains what happened there. Now, very little is known about this Enoch. And I've often wondered. But when the Lord brought this message to me, He revealed it to me. You say, He did? Well, He did. See, the reason very little was known about this guy was most of the time he was in the presence of the Lord. See, I mean, he was literally walking with God the whole time. I mean, when you have that presence and you don't go in and out, and we're going to come to that finally, you know, even death cannot touch you. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Oh yes, Enoch was a man that knew that secret. And he walked with God in that presence, and God had to bring him on home. He couldn't die. He went to heaven without dying. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:5, that by faith he was translated that he should not see death. See, he was translated that he shouldn't see death. Oh, he went with God. Until this day, he is still alive.
Hallelujah.
How many of you know that's true?
Praise.
Oh, yes. And I'll tell you one other thing. When Jesus, when he came, oh, the ultimate example. Every example I give in the Bible, I always have to go back to Jesus. Because he is the ultimate blueprint. God showed in Jesus what he wanted each one of us to be. See? And all the things that Jesus did, except when he forgave sins, he did as a man. That's right. The only time he did anything different, you know, was when he told the man, he said, look, stretch out your hand, be healed. And he said, you know, and he, before he did that, he told the man, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he said, who is this man that blasphemes, that says you can forgive sin? The man was crippled. They thought that Jesus was going to heal him, but the first thing out of his mouth was, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then he turned around and said to them when they were, he read their minds. And he said, well, which do you think is easier? You know, for me to say to this man, thy sins be forgiven. I mean, if somebody came here on a wheelchair, we saw, you know, August 12 last year, the man here with a wheelchair after 8 years that stood up here in presence of all of us after prayer. You know, if we had said to the man that was on the wheelchair, and I said, you know, instead of telling him, get up from your sins, I mean, get up from your wheelchair, I could have just said to him, son, thy sins be forgiven you in the name of the Lord. I mean, that's how, you know, profound the statement that Jesus made was. Because they looked at him as the son of a carpenter. And they said, this man is blaspheming. And he said, really? He said, well, which do you think is really easier? I can say that, or tell him to get up from his wheelchair. It's easier for me to say thy sins be forgiven you, because we don't know the results, whether it's forgiven or not. Yeah, that's easy. But when you tell somebody, get up from that wheelchair, and now every eye is going to be upon you. How many of you know that's true? But Jesus said, well, in order that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. See, now, get up from your wheelchair. Praise God. Put your hands together for Jesus for that one. Yes. Amen. And the man got up from the bed that was sick of the palsy and so forth. That's the one thing. You know, the forgiving of sins and so forth. You know, but every other thing he did, like, you were just a man. See, he did it as a man, you know, because of the presence that was within. The Bible said the Spirit of God was not given to him by measure. But here's what I'm going to read to you, you know, in a minute. What I'm talking about in this next few minutes is the impact of this glory and the presence of God in your life. Now, I'm not talking of the omnipresence. I already left that subject. I'm talking about his manifested glory. Even death can't touch you then. Now Jesus, he was in that manifested glory the whole time, but he was kind of veiled. See, but you couldn't do anything to separate him from that presence until Matthew 27 and verse 46. If you want to turn with me to Matthew 27 and verse 46, when Jesus hung upon the cross, there was no way that he could die in that presence and that glory. And Jesus had to say, Lama, Lama, Sabachthani. And they said, he's calling. They said, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. They said, he's calling for Elijah. But the Bible translated that he said, my God, why hast thou departed from me? The glory and the presence had to depart from me, even for him to die. How many of you understand that that's true? That's right. As long as he was in that presence and in that glory, he couldn't die. Now let me bring it home to us. There is going to be a group of people by the end of the week.
Hallelujah.
Of which I hope and pray that I will be one if the Lord comes in my time. They will have, or let me say it this way, we will have the manifested glory of God. That's the reason they are able to leave the earth like Enoch without dying. They will walk. We will walk with the Lord in that glory and that presence. This message this morning is to give you some practice. Because Moses had some practice. But he decided to turn aside and investigate further. And then the Lord began to draw him closer. When that glory finally comes, and when you are finally in that glory, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it takes you from glory to glory until you are fully formed in his image. When you arrive at that glory, even death cannot touch you. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Well, some of you think, well, that's something about, sure it is. Because the Bible says that even Jesus could not die until that glory departed from him. Matthew 27 and verse 46. He had to get away. There's no way he could have died in that glory. Praise God. And if he hadn't died, you wouldn't be sitting here today. Now, what does all of this mean to us? And how do we practice this presence of the Lord and get into this glory? Now, one thing for sure is this. You must press forward. You must look beyond his omnipresence presence. And if you're satisfied with the omnipresence presence of God, two or three gather together, I'm in their midst, that's all you want, well, that's all you're going to get. See? If you're satisfied with speaking in tongues and so forth like that, that's all you're going to get. See? But if you want to press him, see, because the Lord, he'll never give everybody everything. Anybody. So he'll give you just a little bit and see if you are going to draw. And he said, I will be found of them when they will seek me with all their heart. You know, for little children, that means God likes to play hide and seek. That's what it means to you little children. He'll hide himself and then you have to find him. See, and that goes the same way to all of us. Because he said, except you be converted and become like little children, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now this Moses, he had this desire. He was one that always wanted that glory and that presence. And here's what happened. In Matthew chapter 17, if you want to turn with me. Matthew chapter 17. The Lord had been doing all kinds of things. And after a while, he decided that he was going to take Peter, James, and John and bring them into a high mountain apart. Well, he already had a rendezvous. See, with Moses and Elijah. Now, Peter, James, and John knew nothing about it, but Jesus was going to meet Moses. This Moses always wanted to see that glory. Boy, and is he ever going to get a treat now? And now Jesus, he comes there, and he was transfigured before them. Oh my. That glory that was veiled in his flesh came out. And Moses was there, and he said, my, my. You know, in his heart one time, the Lord gave him instructions, but, you know, somehow in the flesh and different things and so forth like that, you know, he didn't type the Christ exactly. He bit the rock twice. He spoke unadvisably with his mouth. He did all of these things. And finally God said, well, you're not going in. You know. But in his heart, he always wanted to see that glory. And I guarantee you the experience that he had right here, my, that's better than that promised land. How about if you say praise the Lord? Jesus finally met him in that glory that he wanted to see. And when he pulled back that veil, my, the Bible says there was lightning everywhere. He was transfigured. He turned into something else, you know. The glory came out that was always inside of him, you know, because he was kind of veiled like that. Because if he walked around all the time like that, you know, then, he wouldn't accomplish his purpose because he needed to do it as a man, you know. And then Peter, they saw it, you know. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias in verse 3, talking unto them. And Peter saw it and said, wow, this is great. You know, let's just stay here in this presence and this glory and so forth. And the Lord said, no, it's not yet time for that. You know, let's go do some other things. But at the end of the age, there is coming a time for that, that we will not go in and out of that glory. We will not go in and out of that presence. We will be in His presence. And I'm talking of on this earth, before we go to heaven. That's the only way that you are getting out of here. See, if you leave, if you are outside of that presence, you are not going to make it in that translation. That's the only way, the only place we are told that somebody was translated like that was Enoch. He was translated because he walked with God. He was in the presence of God the whole time. And he made it. You know, and God took him. Now, one other man that was translated like that was a man that had, you know, the kind of faith in Matthew 11, which Jesus said, violent faith. His name was Elijah. You know, he did his own, not by always being in the presence of God, like Enoch. He kind of used a violent faith, which Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah, until now, the kingdom of God is suffering violence. Matthew 11, and you can read verses 11 and so forth. And he said, and they take it by force. And Elijah was that kind of person. He loved that kind of a thing. And every so often, he got in that glory. Sometimes the Spirit of the Lord will pick him up and so forth. And he also had, you know, that passion that he wanted to go away in that place of glory. The Lord honored his faith. Took him away in the chariot of fire. But he's coming back sometime. You know. And but Enoch was an example of a man that would never die. Because he walked in that glory. But Jesus one time said, if a man keeps my saying, he will never taste of death. John chapter 8. And they said to him, Abraham and the prophets are dead. And you are telling us that if a man keeps your saying, they will never taste of death. He was talking in a realm beyond them. Like I'm talking today. This is not the omnipresence presence. We're talking of something else. Jesus was talking of something else. And they said, all of these people, even Abraham died. And so forth. And Jesus said, well, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And when he saw it, he was glad. Now at that point, they're ready to kill him already. So they said, look at you. You're not even 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus looked at him and said, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. That is the same I am that spoke to Moses. Before Abraham walks, I am, not I was, he is eternal. You know, and at that time, they've had it up to here. And they are going to kill him now. Because now, you know, he's blasphemed. He just passed through the midst of them. See, it wasn't time for him. And the presence, the glory of God, it wasn't yet time. When it was time, that glory would depart for a season so that he could die. Now, how many of you are catching this message this morning? When that presence and that glory is revealed, first, a sneak preview. When it happens, Acts chapter 2, verses 1. He said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered in the upper room and so forth. And all of a sudden, there came a mighty rushing wind. And when that presence came, it divided like a flame of fire upon each one of them. And they began to speak in other tongues. Now, some people today have experienced that, but that's about as far as they go. That presence always draws people. It drew people from everywhere. And out of that crowd, 3,000 people were saved that day. Can you imagine a crowd? Excuse me. Out of which 3,000 were saved. When that presence comes, that's what it does. I've read so many testimonies of people and so forth, in Australia and different places where the presence of God came in meetings and so forth. People would line up in the cold, even when it was, you know, minus 30 outside or whatever. They just trying to get in their service because the presence of God was there. You know, well, that's something that we are missing today. But one of the things that the Lord did say, and so help me God, we will attain that promise because He promised it. He said to us, in this place, I will raise up the ruins that are falling down. And I will rebuild the tabernacles of David again. And in this place, say the Lord, will I give peace. And if it kills me, we will get that glory. And I don't have the answer, but I want you to help me. I want every one of you today to help me seek that glory, two of us together, all of us. You know? But I can tell you one thing that the Lord showed me. And he told me, and that prophecy that came this morning went right with it. But he told me point blank. See? He said, my presence and my glory will consume your being. I almost want to fall over when she said that this morning. You know, and I said, wow. But the taste, the beginning of it, you know, and I've experienced this myself. I haven't experienced it in many years, but I've experienced it one time in my life. See? But the Lord promised me in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9 that the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former. Now, I've experienced this one time. One time when I was in college, in Federal School of Science in Lagos, we used to have meetings. You know, just a bunch of kids. I probably was about 19. You know, we would be there and so forth. And every time that glory came, it wasn't every service. In some services, he didn't come like we wanted. You know. But in services when he came, and this is the truth, I say it before the Lord. In the services when that glory came, all the unbelievers in the school, they would line up outside the hall where we were doing it, and they'd be there. See? And one by one, and this is the truth, one by one, each one of those people outside, which they started mocking to start with, they would come there and say, "Now these people and so forth, this, you know, scripture, you know, people, they just call us all kinds of things." One guy one time said, "This scripture, you know, people," another one said, "Uh-uh, these ones are not scripture, you know. These ones are on fire." You know, I heard it, I went to the bathroom and I heard them saying it. You know, and then every time they would line up there, one by one, each one of them would come in there. We wouldn't change our service just because they were there. We just kept on doing what they were doing. They fall on their face. They begin to cry for forgiveness. They begin to cry for repentance, for deliverance. Many of them will receive the Holy Spirit. Some of them will speak in tongues and prophesy. Right there and then, people that was just standing outside, even trying to mock. And this happened, I noticed this every single time. You know, when we'll be having service, if it doesn't happen, nothing like that happens. And all of a sudden, you see the glory comes. See, the presence of the Lord, and nobody can do anything again. And even the people that are outside, they are magnetized. See, and I was thinking about that when the Lord began to tell me. I said, yeah, I remember that. You know, and then the Lord said, well, you see, you strayed away from my presence. So what I should have done, what we should have done was when that glory came, we should have just stayed there. He said, stay there? Absolutely. Stay in that presence and let God consume you. Yield to the Spirit. That's what people don't do. We don't know how to yield to the Spirit of God when the presence of God comes. See, and people want to get away from it. You know why? Because of the sin nature. They want to get away from God as quickly as they can because they cannot stand the presence of God. Well, in this church, by the grace of God, and coming upon the elect of God, we will press into His glory. How many of you say amen? Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Sure. We are going to press into His glory. That's right. We are going to press into His glory. Now, when that glory comes, we might not even be able to stand here to minister. We don't have to tell anybody anything. See, the Lord will speak directly out of that cloud. See, that's what He wanted to do to the children of Israel, but they didn't want to hear His voice. But He's going to bring it, because that's what He wants. That fellowship that Adam, through disobedience, lost in Romans 3 and 23, and came, made all of us to lose the glory of God and fall short of it, God is going to bring it back. Hallelujah. And the way it begins is through consecration. Like every month when we do this consecration and so forth like that, it's not just about skipping a meal. It's not just about fasting. It's about consecration. It's about drawing close to God. Say, draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. It's about seeking the Lord, see, that He may be found. You know, the Lord, you know, if God were just to just make it so everybody that didn't even try could get a hold of His glory, that wouldn't work, see. So He hides His glory. And he's looking for the tested ones, the tried ones that will press in, that would not take a no for an answer. The ones that will reach beyond the veil. Oh, like Moses, he wanted that so bad. And finally, he got a taste of it too, on Mount Transfiguration. This morning, have you experienced the glory of God? See, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues, for those of you who are believers. Now, there are some of you that don't even know what salvation is this morning. Well, let me put it to you this way. It starts with repentance. There is no smooshing over the gospel of Christ. It doesn't work. You know, we're not going to tell you, come over here and sign your name here in a book so that you can be saved. That's not going to work. We're not going to tell you, accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your personal Savior and then you'll be saved. That's not going to work. Because that's not in the Bible. You must repent.
Amen.
Some people say accept as if all you have to do is just say, well, accept. And that's the reason there is unrighteousness. Even among those that say they are believers. Because they have this concept that all I got to do is accept. No, you must repent.
Amen.
For the times of ignorance, God has winked at. But he now commands every man to repent.
Amen.
You must repent of your sins.
Amen.
If you don't repent, you cannot be born again. See? So you must repent. So it starts with repentance. You must come to the cross. And you must repent. And you must be willing, see, to give up the old life. If you are not ready, God is not deceived. And God is not mocked. You know, you can't come to church, you know, slap somebody's hand and so forth like that, and think that you're saved. That's not going to get the job done. What that produces is a bunch of proselytes. That's what the Bible calls them. You know, and that doesn't get anybody anywhere. See? And that just mixes up, you know, the church. What we need is righteousness. Amen. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, connect the dots, is fullness of joy. When you get on that path of life, it's in his presence. If you stray away from that presence, you might lose that life. See? Amen. Here's the way Jesus put it. John chapter 15. And Jesus begins to tell them that, look, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit. See? Now, you say I'm in Christ, but you don't bear fruit. My Father takes it away. But every branch that beareth fruit is pruned. See? He purges it. That means he prunes it. That it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word that I have spoken to you and so forth. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Amen?
Amen.
You cannot do it outside of his glory. You cannot do it outside of his presence. Now, some people start in the spirit, but they now try to accomplish it. No, that's not going to get the job done either. Praise God. You're going to always do it like this. You know, when you see that, I'm going to show you, when you see, one more example here, when you see that presence, when you get really into that presence, here's what it makes you feel like in Isaiah chapter 6, if you want to turn with me to it. In Isaiah chapter 6, when you see that presence, Isaiah saw that presence. That is not something that, now, if you come out of his presence and you say, well, you know, I've seen the glory of the Lord, and you brag about it, and so forth, you never saw his presence. How many of you say praise the Lord? If you see his presence, this is what it will do to you. In the year of King Uzziah and so forth died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above his throne is seraphim, sir. Oh my, they had six wings and covered and all that. And he cried, one cried to another, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his own. Now the glory of God was to be revealed to Isaiah in this experience. Now Isaiah had this visitation experience. You know, he saw the train of the Lord, you know, and so forth like that. And boy, the next thing he knew, he said, woe is me! All the strength went out of him and so forth like that. Every time on the Isle of Patmos, in Revelation chapter 1, when Jesus came and revealed himself to John, he fell at his feet as dead. Lightning coming out of his eyes blazing like the sun and so forth like that. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And you're never going to put me back on that cross. You know. And some people want Jesus to die over and over. He's already done that. That's finished. He's exalted now. He's no more in the manger. He's no more a little boy. He's no more a little kid. He's the King of Kings now. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. He's the one that can say, before Abraham was, I am. And he's the one that said in John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am the I am, you shall die in your sins. But if you believe, you are clean through the word I have spoken to you. Now, Jesus, he wants to draw us in into that glory. How many of you say praise the Lord to that? Sure. And a vital part of this message, I will hold back until some other time. When I preach part two of this message, I don't know yet when it will be. I have to listen to the Lord on that. But read with me these final few verses as we close this message. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. He says here, this prayer that he's praying and so forth before he went to the cross and all that, in John chapter 17 and verse 21. Let me start at verse 20. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's you, and that's me. Yes. See, so he already prayed that prayer for us. He said that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, oh my. Now, if you ever want to know, when the Lord allows me to preach the message that is related to this next verse 22, you don't want to miss it. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given unto them. Oh my. That they may be one, even as we are one. Well, you say, the glory that thou hast given unto me, sure, I have given unto them. That they may be one, even as you are one. Now, how are we going to get into that glory? Oh my. This is the same God that said in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. But in John chapter 17 and verse 22. He's going to say, the glory that you have given me, I have given unto them. And you are going to find out, when the Lord brings that message, how you are going to get that glory. Now, today is a preview message that we ought to begin to seek his glory. You must seek his glory. If you don't seek, you will not find. But everyone that seeketh, findeth. And when you ask your Father for bread, those of you who are little kids, he's not going to give you a stone. And those of you who are parents or grandparents and so forth, if your little ones ask you for egg, you won't give them a scorpion. How much more shall the Holy Father? Yes. And let me say it this way this morning under the Spirit of God. How much more shall the Father reveal his glory unto those that seek for it? Let's stand to our feet this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now this is a preview. And I want everyone that is in here this morning to pray with me on how we must enter into that glory. Praise God. That glory is there for the taking, but nobody has taken it. Enoch took it and he went with God, and he was not. Because the Lord Jesus, he was in that glory the whole time. Well, a few people here and there over the years and over the generations and so forth, they have received that glory. And they are gone, you know. But my, at the end of the age, it's going to come back. My. And if you're outside of that glory, there is no way to make the translation. The presence of God is what connects the dots in Psalm 16 and verse 11. It's what gives the life. And that's what takes them in the translation. When that glory, where he says in his fullness, when that kind of presence comes, that's when they are in the path of life. That's when they walk with God in that path of life, like Enoch did. Oh my, a path is something you walk in. How many of you know that's true? You walk in a path. So Enoch walked with God. And that path, once that presence comes, they have that fullness of joy, they walk with God and they are gone. Oh my. When it comes, we will walk with God. And we will be gone. Because I'm going to be a part of it. Are you going to be a part of it? Now we're going to get some practice here this morning. I want everybody, we are going to seek and ask for the glory of God there this morning. Now, if you don't even have salvation, you don't even know this Jesus that we're talking about. Now, we're not talking about coming to church on Sunday. It's way beyond that, as you can decipher from this message. But the Lord brought you here today to hear this message. So if you are here and you don't even know the Lord, I'm going to give you a chance first before the others. See? And let me say it to you this way. Now, when I ask you to come out here, if you need salvation, you better come out here and receive salvation.
Hallelujah.
Because if you don't, when you walk back out of that door, the Bible says there's coming a time when he that is unrighteous shall be unrighteous still. He that is unholy shall be unholy still. God may fix it, and you may never get another chance. Today is the day of salvation. Now, if you want salvation, oh yeah, I'm no better than you, but I have received this grace. And by the grace of God, I will not frustrate the grace of God. I have received the grace and we extend it to you this morning. Now, if you need Jesus in your life, come out here this morning, real quick. And we're going to pray for that. We always want to give everybody a chance, you know, to have salvation, to receive the power of God. And the Bible says, if one person, come on out, brother, are you coming? Come on out, don't be embarrassed. The Bible says that one person that comes back to God, the whole of heaven rejoices. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you say amen to that? Also, it means the backslider. It also means those who are at ease in Zion. See? It means God is looking for those that are going to press in. Those that are going to turn aside and see this sight. Now, this morning, if you need any of this, now, you know, and I'm going to begin to call the various prayer lines and so forth, you know, and then we're going to see what the Lord is going to do for us. Praise God. Praise God. Sir?
Yes, sir.
You want the Lord in your life?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my. He said, yes, sir. I want the Lord in my life. How many of you say praise the Lord for that?
Praise the Lord.
Oh my. I don't know. I don't think you know how great that is. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. That one soul comes back. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke, I command the unclean spirit. Now, how many of you know it's the unclean spirit that makes a man not to press into the kingdom of God? Now, the Lord delivers you. In Jesus' name. The Bible says, whosoever sins you remit. Oh, that's right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, bring deliverance to his heart, to his mind. He came here, you brought him here this morning for a reason. Is this your first time here, sir? He said, it's my first time in this church, and today is his day of salvation. Praise the name of the Lord. What's your name, sir?
Vincent.
Vincent, do you believe the Lord can save you and give you a new life?
Absolutely,
he said. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, I want the church to pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch his heart, O Lord. He is not ashamed. He came out here boldly this morning to testify before you. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for forgiving his sins. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving his sins. Now, the Lord wants you to repent. Confess all that you have done. Put it all before the Lord and ask him for cleansing, and he will give you the power of a new life. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please stay over here and just pray by yourself for a minute, you know, before you give. And just ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for his cleansing power. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Praise God. I rejoice in my spirit this morning. Hallelujah. Because God has hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and he revealed them unto simple people like Vincent, that will come this morning and say, I want salvation. Praise God. And if that's all we did this morning in this church, That would have been well worth it.
Hallelujah.
But there's lots more. So here we go. Praise God. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. Sir, what would you like the Lord to do for you?
I want salvation and deliverance.
Oh my. He said, I want salvation and deliverance. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let him know assuredly in his heart that he is yours and that he is saved. The Bible says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and repent of your sins and believe that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. Praise God. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead?
I do.
Do you believe that he has forgiven your sins?
I believe so.
Oh, yes, you are saved then. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, loosing him and set him free. He asked for deliverance. Everything in his body and in his mind, in Jesus' name. Set him free now. In the power of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of God. Give the Lord a hand clap for that, church. Amen. Praise God. What would you like the Lord to do for you?
Just show me my path and to worship him.
Oh, she said, show me the path and I lead me into worship. Isn't that what we are all praying for this morning? Father, Lord, show her the path. Lead her into that worship. Oh my, into the Spirit of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, all of us are going to pray that prayer in a minute. Don't go away. Just stand right here. What would you like the Lord to do for you?
I want the Lord to use me.
Oh, he said, I want the Lord to use me. Isn't that what we all want? Oh Lord Jesus, touch him this morning. Feel him and let him enter into your glory. And use him, Lord, for your glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Now I'm going to invite anybody. Come join me out here if you want this presence of the Lord. Let's kneel between the porch and the altar right here. You want this presence. You want this glory. This is the beginning. This is a practice for us today of how to seek the glory of God. But it is coming. But you must seek that glory. You must seek that glory. All over this audience, join me as we seek the glory of God.